Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePria from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform, for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you.
Say with me, calling and election. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1 verse 10. And I'm going to share some interesting things to you. I want to get it done in time. Really some interesting things. I don't know if we're going to get to calling an election yet, but let's just see what happens. And I want, let me see. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call. Say with me, be more diligent. Say me like this, say, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Say with you, sure. So I was speaking to my team this week, and we had a meeting, I think, with the leaders, with the captain, still about 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursday night or somewhere there. And I was speaking to them, how do you, yeah, the Bible gives us a command where it is even saying, I want you to be even more diligent to make your calling sure. The word sure means to establish it and to make it known and public. Are you guys with me? So the scripture is saying, he says, listen here, I want you to even be more diligent that the call of God that is on your life, or the election that is upon your life, that you will make it to be established, and you'll cause people to become to know what God has called you to be. The greatest tragedy in life is somebody who dies never knowing what they have been called to do, or never even doing the purpose of God for their life. Are you guys with me? Greatest tragedy that is in life is somebody even that is alive, that is walking and breathing, but they have no purpose, no idea who they are, what they are supposed to be doing. They just wake up and go to bed. Wake up, work, go to a work they hate, go to bed. Wake up, go to a job they hate, and go to bed. It is a life that is living, that lived, that is not significant. Are you guys with me? When you get saved, there's something that comes upon you. Meaning, the Bible says that you are a chosen generation, a called out once, a chosen generation, a called people, a royal people, a peculiar people, a chosen generation. The word chosen generation means to be handpicked out of a larger group by the hand of God for a special mission and assignment. Are you guys with me? Go there for me where that scripture is. I don't know where that is, Morten. You're the encyclopedia. Is it 1 Peter 1 verse 1 Peter 2 verse 10? 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Let's try. Morten is... I was good. So, look at this. Okay. But you are... Say, I am a chosen generation. Say, I am a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Say, I am His own special people. Put for me in the King James Version. Quickly, quickly. Listen to this. Say with me, I am a peculiar people that shows forth the praises of God who called me out of the darkness into the marvelous light. So it says, but you are a chosen generation. Number one, royal priesthood. Number two, a holy nation. Number three, a peculiar people. So the peculiar. The word peculiar speaks and derives from the word mystery, which means that when people look at you, your life has to be a mystery. They must look at you and not understand. But why don't you have the desire anymore to sin? I'm not saying that we are sinless, but why don't you have the desire anymore? Why don't you feel like alcohol can take you over anymore? Or why don't you want to come and do these meaningless things with you or with us? Or they will say, they don't understand why you why all of a sudden you decide I want to go into E-group on a Wednesday, church on a Sunday morning, church on a Sunday night, prayer meeting on a Saturday. While they were their friends or business and so on, and then all of a sudden you get blessed, or God gives you wisdom and light and revelation, and then you begin to do well in finances and you become a mystery to them, because every single one of them thought that you will never make it. That is what the word peculiar people means. Are you guys with me? A people that are peculiar, they become a mystery to others. It's, you become something that others never expected, and they will always hate you for it. Then they will secretly desire like you. Then they'll begin to secretly follow you. Are you guys with me? Then they begin to tolerate you, and then they will begin to become part of you. That is how it is. Say this with me. Say, I choose to be different. I hope so. Okay. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 9. I don't want to go off track. And we have a lot of people alive right now. Almost 100. We got from Cape Town, East London, Potchefstroom, Sudan. I think Sean and them are in Sudan, USA. And New Orleans. And that's what are alive right now. And everyone is welcome from there. We have people that are watching from their houses. So they'll have... they might be represented on there as one viewer, but they'll have a TV and they'll have 10 people sitting in the house like a normal church service if they can't get here. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 9, and we'll pray for you before the end of the service. I keep forgetting. But sorry, 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, say this verse with me again, church. Say, be even more diligent. The word diligent means to take a lot of care in your business or your job or your function, that you put so much care in that thing. If somebody gives you something, if somebody says, I want you to make me a plate of food, you make that plate of food with so much love. You know, you see that the portions are divided properly. Then you find out how they like it. Then you take it, you heat it up, and you make sure it is fully heated, but it is being done with care. Are you guys with me? As if you would eat it. One of the secrets in life is this, you know, whether you're an employee or you're put in charge of other people's business, do treat their stuff as if it is your own. And you will see God will give you your own. Are you guys with me? It is a spiritual principle that it's one of the golden rules. When you treat it as if it is your own, when you're faithful in the little, but you don't take possession of it, but you take ownership and you say, you know, how would I have liked this food? Or this, or that. Usually when I deal with people, I tell them, would you have done it this way if this was yours? Are you guys with me? If it was my staff, I'd say, listen, if this church was yours, would you have done it this way? Mm-hmm. The Bible says, do everything as unto the Lord. Yes. Everything. Whether I'm cleaning toilets, I think Chris needs to clean toilets because he'll just want to pay someone to clean toilets. Cleaning the floors, but you're doing it as unto Jesus. Are you guys with me? Okay. So 2 Peter 1 verse 10, it says, make even be more, that's diligence, doing it as unto the Lord, to make your call, so the call and election sure. Now, whether we're going to get to call and election this morning, I'll see or not, otherwise it's next one. But there's a big difference between calling and election. But before we get that, I want to discuss with you guys, say with the five P's. Five P's to indicate, or no, let me say it like this. Five P's that will happen to you when you step into your prophetic destiny. Or five things that must take place as you are on your way to your prophetic destiny. Are you guys with me? I spoke to you about prophetic destiny. I spoke about Jesus being outside of Jerusalem. And then he told his disciples, he said, listen here, what do you have on you? They said, we have money bags on us. And he said to them, he said, listen, I want you to go sell what you have and buy for yourself physical swords. Are you guys with me? Physical swords. So that, he says, because look, I'm outside of Jerusalem. The scripture says I'm supposed to be dying in Jerusalem, but I'm outside now. And if Herod is going to come and kill me now, you need to be able to protect me. When you get a prophecy, you need to protect and govern that prophecy. Not only do you need to protect that prophecy. Listen, Jesus' life was a prophecy. Are you guys with me? And I'm going to drill this thing into you this morning. His life was what we call a prophetic destiny. Let's not go there yet. Jesus said in the book of, let me read it to you out of here. Go with me to, you can put on the screen, to Luke chapter number 4. And the sound is nice, thank you. See, I appreciate something sometimes. It's Luke 4, only sometimes. It's like, they all tune Donald Trump, you must apologize. You've never apologized. So they asked him, have you ever apologized in your life? And he said, no. And he said, and they said, but why don't you apologize? He said, I'll only apologize if I'm wrong. So I really like that statement. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18. Let's go from verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, another translation will tell you this. He found the place where it was written of him. Are you guys with me? There's a book in the Bible that has been written about you and for you. Come next week, Sunday morning, and you're going to see what we're going to get. You'll see what we're going to go to. He found the place where it was written of him. Next verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Next verse. And the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set all at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And here we see how this book was written about him. Say with me, my prophetic story. Say my prophetic destiny. I want to explain to you that, and like I said, I shared this last week, Sunday morning, a little bit. There has been a life and a story written about your life long ago already, long before you were even born. Are you guys with me? Let's take, for example, a blockbuster movie. Okay, for a movie to come get into the fields of being a blockbuster, meaning a top hit movie, what they do is once that movie is finished, they will begin to pay millions to critics. With some of your biggest movies, they'll take a whole hotel and they'll put the hotel full of critics just to criticize and judge that movie on every aspect, so that all the producers and the writers and the editors can see that everything was done right. Are you guys with me? And they do it so that they can be put through a test and the movie can really be very good quality. Then after that, what they do is they take that movie and they give it usually to celebrities, and they do that now for the last 10 years, to celebrities on their social media, and they'll tell them to criticize it. So the celebrities will go up and they'll say something bad in the movie that they don't like. But the thing is, the movie is being advertised. So I'm going to try to speak prophetically to you this morning. Are you guys with me? You have said with me, I have a story. Listen, there's a prophetic story written about your life long before you were born. Jeremiah chapter number 1 says these words. He says, the Bible says, the Lord said to him, I have ordained you even before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I have called you a prophet. I have known you, Jeremiah, even before you were formed in your mother's womb. The scripture is saying, I have yadad you. I have sat with you and had a discussion, and I paralleled and worked a life out for you from the beginning to the end. Which means as you start off in this life, you have a life to live, but you can choose to step into the one that I have or step into your own life. Are you guys with me? Why do you think visions happen? Because it is simply a prophet having a vision of something that has already happened. There's your life, everything here has already happened. I know some of you don't fully snap. They said, but then do we have choice? Yes, we have a choice. I have a choice to do my own life, or I have a choice to slot in with God. Are you guys with me? When you slot in with Him, even the mistakes you make is not mistakes. so. It doesn't, if you slot in with him, even you might feel you've made a mistake or you made a bad move, but you're in his perfect will. You'll see, I've seen this by experience and it is a scripture. People that are in his perfect will, they make mistakes and it's almost like it never hits them. And those who are outside of his will, they make one mistake and they're destroyed. When you are covered by grace, grace comes on you when you're walking in his perfect will. Your yada life. Are you guys with me? Okay. I hope you are with me. So a movie gets this critics. Why? Because that actor that is playing in that movie, it is, number one, it is so unrealistic. You see them, I watched the movie the other day, and you see this guy in a helicopter, and Daniel was in a helicopter accident, so I'm like, this is not real, this is what's happening here. This guy is like swinging, and while the helicopter is swinging, he's saying, listen here, let's hit the tail in that tree there, then we'll swing that way. And then once we're over the water, we dive into the water. And just before we're in the water, we jump out. So where's Daniel? I saw him here. So I don't know if that is true, if that is realistic, Mike and Daniel. And the guy does it and he falls in the ocean and he walks out with his girlfriend that was with him apparently in the thing. And he walks heroic out. He's got a scratch or so, but he walks out heroic. You know, they walk out like this and I'm thinking, in the blockbuster movie, you'll have all the enemies die. And you'll have one main actor coming out just with a scratch, usually. Your life is a story. You are the main actor. And God is the writer. He's the producer, executive producer, the writer of your story. Because he's the author and the finisher of your life. He has written it from beginning to end. Are you guys with me? That means it doesn't matter what happens in your life. It doesn't matter what people are saying. As long as you know, I am protected because I'm in my story. I have opened the book about my life and I'm walking through those pages. The ending as well. Why? Listen here. I was thinking this whole week, and honestly, how to remove stress. Are you guys with me? How to remove stress. I ask questions. I ask people, what do you want to know about stress? How to get rid of stress, finances, end times, or hearing from God? So everybody said hearing from God. Not everyone, most. So I was like, why don't they know that if you just remove stress, you will already hear from God? Are you guys with me? And you know, and I said financial health in your family and your life. And I said, you know, if you just have financial health in your family life, you'll remove stress. When stress is removed, the voice of God comes. I'm serious. I drink these vitamin pills that makes my mouth dry. So with your prophetic destiny. Do you understand if I say now a prophetic story about your life? Your life has been prophesied. So, there are 5 P's to the calling. It's a very simple message. I'm going to go a little bit on further than that, but to finish on time, but it's a simple message. When you're entering or saying yes to your prophetic destiny, your calling, there's few things that happen, 5 things. The first thing, say with me, prophecy. There's prophecy that comes forth. Now, prophecy, I'm not speaking of somebody only prophesying over you. I'm speaking in the realm of if you are a called person, you're entering into your prophetic destiny. There's a prophecy that will be released. Somebody will come and prophesy over you, number one. Or you will stand and you'll have suddenly a revelation. You'll just think inside of you. You're like, I'm called as an evangelist. I feel I'm called as a teacher. Now, the calling of a prophet and apostle is not like that, okay? And those things we'll get into a little bit of next week, Sunday, but, I will just make this thing clear. A prophet or an apostle is called by having a physical encounter with God. And there is results and fruits of it. A lot of people, I've seen so many people wiped out in ministry because they said, you know, I think I'm a prophet. Or they want to be one. And then I see my friends and these guys, then they go minister at places, then they call themselves a prophet, then they go minister at another place, and they call themselves apostle. Now, at least call yourself something, that's fine, but don't go and change as the circumstances demands. It's fake. Are you guys with me? So, being a prophet, apostle, that is when you have a physical encounter with God or an angel that tells you you're in that level. The other ones, when you look at the fivefold giftings and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the callings, whether it's a doctor, a businessman, and I'll even show you in Scripture how there are main callings in Scripture. How you have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But then you have other things. You have businessmen. Then you have kings. Then you have doctors. And you have property builders, constructionists. Are you guys with me? Those is what stands out in Scripture as callings. And, you know, so when a calling comes, you will feel, it feels like you just feel pulled into a certain direction. Or you will have a vision, or you'll have a revelation. Or somebody will take you out and prophesy over you and give you guidance. That's what we're going to do next week a lot. Is also just to give you type of a guidance, a direction. And especially the evening, as to what we believe that is the call of God in your life. Are you guys with me? Now, prophecy is always in part. It's not the fullness. Oh, you guys are dead on me. Okay, maybe let's go back. So, say with the calling. Say with the prophecy. So prophecy is the first thing that comes. So remember, when I say prophecy, it means of revelation, a vision, a feeling that's pushing into somebody, or somebody prophesying over you. Then you know you're in the step, or you kind of like know where to go when it comes to a prophetic destiny on your life. Are you guys with me? As I said, many are called. Many are called. Few are elected, chosen. And all can be saved. So the second piece, 75 piece. The second P that I want to get into say with me, or let me tell you the five P's. Say with me prophecy. Say with me place. Say with me people. Say with me provision. Power. Those five things. And I'll touch on it just now. When a person is in their calling, when they are called, these things will begin to take place in their life. I'm going to speak in the area of ministry, but you can take this in the area of business as well. Okay? Prophecy. Number two, place. Say with me, place. When you are called, God will give you a certain place. For me, you know, or He will give you a place where you're not allowed to be. For example, I was trained in Durban as in ministry, but I was not allowed to be there to plant my ministry there. When I started my ministry, God specifically said to me, go to Johannesburg, not here. Not by Durban. And it why? Because if I was in the wrong place, everything would have gone chaos. Are you guys with me? Chaotic. Listen. Look to me. Go with me to, go with me to Acts chapter number 6. Let me just see where it is. Act 6. I just want to see where it is so that I can be correct. Oh yeah, here it is. Listen to this. And those days, 6 verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a problem, a murmuring among the Christians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, the apostles and prophets said this now. They said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They were saying, listen, we are preaching to you. We're traveling all over ministry. It is not good for us to be feeding the widows. Let's set in a structure in the church. Are you guys with me? Number 3, wherefore, brethren, look you among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Number 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, say with me, Stephen. Number 1, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And they chose Philip, say with me, Philip. Now you'll even see here, Nicholas was chosen. Nicholas was a man who created a completely false doctrine. Are you guys with me? Going into the book of Revelation. So false doctrine, even church splits. No church is exempt of it. But he says, Stephen and Philip, listen to this. Philip was serving, say with me, a place. He chose, and they chose him to serve at a place where tables is, to serve tables and to serve the widows. Are you guys with me? Yet Philip was a mighty evangelist. He carried a gift of healing that could get people healed left, right, and center like this. But he had to be in a place to serve. And if he was in the wrong place, his gift might never have been activated. If you carry on reading, you'll see how Philip had a crusade. How he was baptizing the person from Ethiopia. And the dignitary from Ethiopia. And as the person came up out of the water, Philip was taken. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord took him and put him down in another city where he was needed. And as he was being put down, suddenly he preached. And miracles, the Bible says that a revival broke out. And everybody that heard the message got healed. Are you guys with me? But the man started off at a place serving tables. Say with me, my place. Stephen was the other one, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. He was in a place of serving when he preached and he became a martyr. First martyr in scripture. Are you guys with me? Say with me, my place. So we see prophecy. Number two, a place. When I step into my calling, God will give me a place. A specific place. It's a place of boundaries where I must operate in. Many people travel there, then they move to that country, then they go to that city, and they become like vagabonds. And they go all over, and they never get to build something. God is saying, no, look, and this is for ministers also. If you're really called to ministry, you will have a prophetic destiny. You will have a prophecy, a revelation. Number two, you will have a place already set apart for you to minister. Are you guys with me? Say with me, number three, say people. You will have a people to minister with or to minister to. Or to do business with or to do business to. Are you guys with me? So you will have a people will be given to you, which means opportunities will be opened up. Okay, I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Paul, listen here. Paul was sent to the Gentiles, yet he tried to go and preach to the Jews. When he preached to the Jews, nothing happened. He had maybe 4 or 5 people saved. But when he moved from the Jews to the Gentiles, Paul, his ministry exploded. He had to find out who his people was. And even easier, he had to find out who my people are not. Are you guys with me? When I minister, when I preach, even here on a Sunday morning, I have been tempted and I've been overthrown by ministers. That's why no minister at this moment can get hold of me. I don't take anyone's call because many of them say, you know, Leon, you must do it like this. You must do it like that. No. The greatest thing you can know, wisdom, is to know what not to do. Or what to do at the right time. It is the ability to say that, listen, I can stand here and bring you a seeker-sensitive message. Forgive one another. Love one another. But this sounds like seeker-sensitive. I see people falling asleep or yawning. Look. I can bring you a seeker-sensitive message, or we can open up the word. But I know the people that God has sent me to. And I know the people that God has not sent me to. I can get invited by some of the biggest churches now, which I have, even in South Africa, and I would not even answer them, because I know if I step onto that pulpit, doesn't matter if they have 2 or 3 or 4 thousand people there, it is not a people that I'm sent to. Are you guys with me? It is not something that I must do. And it's very difficult to know what you must not do. It's very, very easy to try to think what you must do. But to know what you mustn't do is not that easy. Are you guys with me? Go with me to point number four. Say with me. We will now. Say with me, number one. Say prophecy. Say place. Say people. Say number four. Say provision. Where he sends you. If you are in your calling, you will have provision. Whether there's business, a doctor, medical field, whatever it is, ministry, you will have provision. Are you guys with me? He provides for a vision. When we just started ministry, I think my wife and I, we had nothing. We lived with my mom in a 2-bedroom flat. And for 1 month, I was just working through the nights, and I was doing all the DVDs and everything you see there. I was sitting and designing, and designing all of them, gutting them all, putting them into the sleeves, putting my CDs in to go and sell. What did I do? I was making my call and election sure. Are you guys hear what I said? Within 1 month from there, there was no such thing as begging. I have never begged in my one life and never borrowed once in my life from someone. And then it was a month from there, and people began to phone us, with this couple, then another couple, then another couple, just saying if they can please see us. And they come to us, I don't know them, and they say to me, we would just like to support you financially with whatever work God has given you to do. Provision is a sign that you are called. Are you guys with me? God will make sure that that vision is funded. That vision, if his spirit is in there, he will take care of it. I can tell you now. Matthew 6 verse 34 says, listen here, tomorrow will worry about its own things. Do not worry if you're in the will of God. If you're not, you have to worry. Are you guys with me? Say with me the fifth one. Say power. Say it again. Say power. Now, there's not much to say on power except for power. When you are in your calling, you will have power. As a minister, I know business people that walk in power. Are you guys with me? I know I was ministering to a one man. He was a very wealthy man. He was in euros, owned, I think, over 1,000 of properties on a certain coastline. And I was ministering to him. And I said, and first the man said, you know, nobody can slay me in the spirit. Not even Benny Hinn can slay me in the spirit. So I said, I stood on the pulpit like this, and the glory of God was thick. It was, let's say, about 1,000 people. I said to him, come stand here. He comes, and as he comes, it's like the power of God hits this man under the floor. And he was at a Benny Hinn crusade. He would go to show that he doesn't fall over. Okay? So then... He's lying on the floor, and I remember picking him up, and I grabbed his hands, and I said, you will, as much as you are a businessman, you will have fire, and when you lay these hands on people, you will see power, and the power of God hit him again, only to find out afterwards, he was never interested in the things of God, that from that day onward, it businesses everywhere, he would lay his hands on people. It's a gift that is given. Say with me, power. These are the five P's. When you step in, make sure they are in line there. Are you guys with me? You will have a place. You will have prophecy. You will have a people. You will have provision where God is looking after you. And then you will have power. Are you guys with me? So the prophetic destiny. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number, and I'll close off. Give me 15 and 10 minutes and I'll close off. I want to get to a thing. I don't know if I'm going to finish. Hebrews 10 verse. Let's go to verse 7. Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 7 in the King James Version first. Look at this. Are you guys okay? Is this it? Is it? Oh, okay, sorry. I'm looking for King James. I realize it's Hebrews. Okay, so Hebrews 10 verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. To do thy will, O God. Put for me in the NIV. Are you guys with me? Say there's a story about me. Can your spirits be awake and catch revelation? Then I said, here I am. Jesus is saying, it is written about me in the scroll. Let me say it like this. It is written about me in the script of my life already. I have come to do your will. Are you guys with me? The book of your life has been written from beginning to end. It's called the book of your life. We've done a teaching on all the many books. The book of your life is the perfect will of God for your life. That if you just open it and be able to read it, you will find yourself exactly in where to go, what page to turn, where to go straight, where not. When Jesus said, when he prayed for somebody's healing, and he would say these words, please do not go and tell anyone out there, my hour of glorification is not yet. Are you guys with me? He knew his timing. He read his scroll. He knew that within 6 months, he's going to be crucified. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Then even when he came closer to the crucifixion, he realized, but no, wait. Herod is not yet upset with me. So let me do a statement to provoke him, to cause my destiny to come to pass. And he said, go tell that fox, Herod, that president, that I will cast out devils and I will heal diseases. And on the third day, I will be raised up again. Are you guys with me? Jesus made his prophecy come to pass. Say this with me. Say, I will make my prophecy come to pass. It's your responsibility. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. It is written about me in my book. Jesus is saying, listen here, I am just opening up my book. Luke chapter number 4 verse 18. It is written in me of in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and has anointed me to preach the gospel, to cast out devils. What was he saying? He wasn't speaking anything. He was reading a book that was prophesying about him. Are you guys with me? There's a book on your life. Say, there's a book on my life. Have you found the scripture for me, Martin? Can you give it to me? Okay, let's see. 1 Samuel 30 verse 24. And I preach my best if I'm relaxed and just talk to you. Are you guys with me? Yes, this is the right one. Listen to this. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is. So he's saying, listen, there's one person whose part is, who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be, the other one's part, who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So if we share alike. Put it in the NIV. I just want to see if it is a bit better. Listen to this. I want you to understand this verse. And then we're going to close just now, but I need to get one more place. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as of him who went down to the battle. All I will share alike. Michael, come and stand here. And Eckhart, come and stand there. Stand by the offering, hold the offering basket. Okay. So, not you. Okay. So, he's going out to war, to battle. And we think usually he's the best. He's staying and watching and guarding and counting and do whatever with the supplies and the food that will feed him. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. How does the will of God works? Let me say it like this. When I stepped into really the will of God for my life, we had nothing. I worked. It was not like I was lazy or a couch potato, but we had nothing. My wife and I, when we stepped into it, when we started ministry, when I was 29 or around there, 30 years old, we stepped into it. We had nothing. And then certain people came and said, we felt led. It's one person even said, I had a dream. A person that was against me, fighting me for 2 years, phoned me and said, I had a dream. And God said, I must support your ministry with this amount. I said to my wife, but this is crazy. This guy is attacking, hating my doctrine, SMSing me very bad stuff all the time. Now God is saying, this must be God. Elijah was fed by the ravens. A raven is a selfish animal. Are you guys with me? Okay, so then now so I'm going there and God will bring an individual to support because he has given me a vision. Maybe I'm going out to war. If you take it in that image, somebody else come and give a supply, but he makes us meet and both of us share the same reward. Are you guys with me? It's not an offering message. Don't worry. The offering was taken up already. Okay. He's the person that gives will share the same as the person who's actually going to do the work. Now, if you have a place where maybe you don't have a job, when you're in your prophetic destiny, you get to a place where you can meet somebody that can maybe just help you in business or help you in there, or they just open up a door and you for them again. The Bible says they share alike. So if we share alike. The biggest secret, thank you very much, the biggest secret of David was this. Isn't it amazing? You can go to Israel. They'll speak more highly of David than of Jesus. They'll say, no, Jesus, was the son of David.
Are you guys with me?
They say David is even spoken higher of than Moses and even Elijah who called down fire from heaven. David, who did nothing.
Are you guys with me?
When I serve supernatural, he wasn't a prophet where he called down fire. He was not Jesus who was the Son of God. Yet they will respect and revere him almost more than Jesus. If you go there to Israel, they even said, it was even prophesied that the throne of David will be everlasting, will be forever. It will stand, his rule and his reign will stand forever. Yet the man was caught in adultery, killing his best friend. Are you guys with me? Let's stop there. And God still said, this man will rule and reign forever, his throne. He's the apple of my eye. I will cause his name to become one of the greatest in scripture. Are you guys with me? But he had a secret. That was when he went to battle to Goliath, that he had the confidence and the boldness to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that shall curse the armies of God? Why could he say that with boldness? The scripture says that he was tending his father's sheep in the backyard. Are you guys with me? While his brothers never went through that serving phase. Why do I know that? When he went to the battlefield, his brothers looked at him and said, why don't you go back to your little sheep you have? Meaning you are insignificant here. But the problem is the secret of David's life, which they didn't know. He did two things. Number one, he took care and served in his place. Say with me, my place. He took care of his father's sheep. And that caused him to be trained and prepared. So he killed the lion. He killed the bear. Even if the bear or lion will just want to take a sheep, he would put his own life at risk to protect a few sheep. If his brothers have done that, they would have never made that statement to him. They would have understand the power that that can bring his promotion. Because that caused David to go in front of Goliath, where his brothers could not say anything and whimpered away. For 40 days, the Bible says, Goliath is spewing out insults against Israel. Are you guys with me? And David's brothers were too scared because they were never prepared or trained or went through a season. David went through a season of preparation, a place that God has called him to be. He knew what he did not have to do and what he had to do. He knew the time of war was not yet for him, but it was time to serve so that when he stands in front of Goliath, he can deal with it with one shot. Many Christians don't want to be like David. They want to go and just go straight into, let me go into battle. Let me go start my ministry. You have not done the training. When Goliath comes, you're going to whimper away. Are you guys with me? Okay. Go to Romans 8:29. I'll close with this. Romans 8:29. Say with your prophetic destiny. Are you guys getting something? It's not the best sermon, but Revelation is the best. It's not the best preaching, but I hope that you mature and you can catch this. Listen to this. 29, listen to this. This verse that I'm going to read to you now, these two verses, is what we call speaking of calling an election. It's speaking of your prophetic destiny being scriptural. Are you guys with me? Look. For whom he foreknew, say with you, foreknew, for whom God had foreknowledge of, he foreknew him. I don't know how to explain this. I can't understand you again, it was easier. For whom he foreknew, he also, say with me, predestined to be confirmed, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, but let's keep here. He says, for whom he foreknew. So the Bible is saying, God is saying, Eckhart, I had foreknowledge of him. But this word foreknew speaks of knowledge before an event. It speaks of a relationship. So God is saying with Eckhart, his life is here where he's now at this age. But before he was even born, when he was here, I have already had a conversation with him. I had foreknowledge about him. I reset out his whole plan. I foreknew him. Are you guys with me? We had a relationship together before he was even born. And then because he was foreknown, I have also predestined him. So when he was born here, right before he was born, he came to a place where God sat with him and mapped out his journey. And said, this is now a predestiny. It's prior to your destiny. Are you guys with me? It's prior to going into your call, into the call of God. So you're mapping it out. So you're saying, listen, Eckhart, if you go right here, if you take this job here, that's where I'm going to bless you with finances. Now if you go straight, but if you now do this, if you take this risk in and now start your own business, you're going to see now 10 times more finances. And there you will see a wife coming on, which he needs a wife. Okay, so you see a wife coming on. And then we see, so God is planning and predestined, written his story already. So listen to this. That he might be the firstborn among many. Next verse. Listen. Moreover, whom he predestined. He's saying, now listen, the one God predestined, he's the predestined one. Are you guys with me? So there's foreknowledge. One, that God had a relationship with him, knowledge prior to the moment of now. Then he has been predestined, which means he's trying to go into the call of God for his life, but it has been written out and drawn out already. Those, he says, he predestined, but those he predestined, he also called. Are you guys with me? So he's saying, listen here, I have also called him, given him a calling. Predestined, we have mapped it out, but now I come maybe as 5 years old, 18 years old, 25 years old. It's not the same as salvation. The calling of God comes upon his life. He just feels he needs to do something. God comes into his room, speaks to him. Angelic visitation, whatever it might be. The calling of God comes. Are you guys with me? Then it says, and whom he called, those he also justified. So take one step forward and get on your knees. Okay, so now, say with me, justification. That is the moment of salvation. Justified is just as if you have never did it. Proven to be not guilty. And your sins wiped away. Okay? But listen, we don't know the other parts. I remember I said foreknowledge. Then I said predestination. Then I said called. Are you guys with me? And then we come to justification. So now he's at the place of justified, which means salvation. Now where we come and we only realize things of Christianity is at this point. We are now getting saved. The problem with Christians is, it says those he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Say with the glorified. The problem with us as Christians is this. Now stand up, you got saved. Now he's justified. Now all he wants to do, he wants to take a step forward and go into his calling. Or not his calling, let me say it like this. He wants to go into finances, prosperity, breakthrough, miracle. He wants to immediately be where God might have called him for 30 years from now. He wants to have a miracle now. Always coming for a healing. Always coming to church because, you know, I have a problem. Me, myself, and I. And there's steps. And God is saying, no. This scripture is working this way. Go back. It is written in such a way that before, when you get saved and justified, don't worry about your glorification. Because you wouldn't know where to go. To go right or to go left. Or to say yes or to say no. Are you guys with me? So the scripture says, I want you to look back. Now turn around. I want you to look back and begin to see that you are called. Maybe I called you already at the age of 5. That you have a calling. Okay, so now I have a calling. But I don't know what direction to take. Now God is saying this. Now I want you to move to predestination. Where I predestined you. Because him who I've called, I have also predestined. So now we sit and discuss with me. And find out by opening up your book of your life. Are you with me? To find out, okay, this is how my calling is going. So that is how I must turn right there. Now your spirit gets that knowledge. I'm going to explain to you just now. Now from there, you go back to foreknowledge. Let's go back to predestination. Predestination means this. Do you know the word provision is in there when it comes to the Greek? Because every move that you will make, if you're in the perfect will of God, there will be provision. Okay. Now you move from predestination to the first one, foreknowledge. Now you realize, but wait, I have known God and God has known me. Even before I was formed in my mother's womb, we had a relationship together. A yada moment, a yada life. And now because of that and predestination, I can see my whole life going forward. Now I have the ability to say, now I come back to the place of justification. Now, because I have discovered that, make your call and election sure. Are you guys with me? This is how he made his call and his election sure. Now he goes and he says, now I'm going to move forward, and he can go into the season of glorification. But too many people want to go into glorification without knowing exactly where God has called them to be. Are you guys with me? Have your seats, have your seats. Go with me to, say with me, prophetic calling. Look, look, look. And this is the problem. Many people think they are not worthy. They have not called. That because they don't have the foreknowledge, they come to a place where God calls them and they get saved. When they get saved, like for example, Moses, God, I cannot do it. I'm stammering. And Moses is even lying that he's stammering. And God said to him, listen here, I will give you Aaron, your brother. I will give you a stick. I'll give you boldness. I'll give you signs and wonders that will follow you for Pharaoh. Go and do this thing. Then we get to Gideon, who was a farmer. Yet, when he was busy doing farming and doing all these things, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, why are you not in battle? You are in the wrong place, Gideon. You are supposed to be in the place of war. Are you guys with me? He says, and then the Bible says, Gideon says, no, but I'm weak, I'm strong. I'm weak, I'm not strong. I cannot do it. Where's our forefathers? Where's all the miracles that happened to our forefathers? This is now Gideon speaking. And then the angel said to him, look, you do not know the mighty man of valor that you are. I need to introduce you to yourself and give you foreknowledge to tell you, you are a mighty man of valor. You might not feel like that here, but you have valor. And because I now tell you who you are before you were even born in your mother's womb, you know now, but I'm a mighty man of valor. Your place will begin to be changed, and you can step into a place of calling and purpose. Are you guys with me? Jeremiah said, the Bible says when Jeremiah called him, he complained. He was age 17 years old. And God said to him, Jeremiah, when you prophesy to these people, to the nations, do not be dismayed by their faces. And do not say, for I am only a youth, but prophesy straight and give the words. Are you guys with me? Jeremiah couldn't believe it. But God said to him, no, look, let me explain to you the foreknowledge I know of you. I have ordained you and I've unknown you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. Now by this knowledge that I've told you, I've made you a prophet before you were even born. Now go out so that you don't have the shame on you, because you now know the foreknowledge. Say, the foreknowledge is my story. Amen. Are you guys with me? Say with me, my prophetic destiny. Understand how God works. This is how He works. Go with me to Psalm 139 verse 6. Last verse. Psalm 139 verse 6. Listen to this. It says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Oh, sorry. Wrong verse. 16. Huh? Yeah, listen. Look at what, go back one verse. Look here. Look. Even the Holy Ghost is responding to me, to my message. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That is what I'm saying in my spirit. Of foreknowledge, this, that. It's too much. Are you guys with me? Next, go to verse 16. Listen, I want you to walk out of this. I said this earlier. I want you to walk out here this morning and then next week Sunday as we conclude this, and then prophesying also over many. This has the ability to remove stress, not worry. Worry will always be there. Are you guys with me? Or stuff will always happen, but stress. Worry and stress, yes, it's the same thing. Stress is a little bit more intense. I want to explain to you guys for me personally. When I get into a stress mode, and I do get into that a lot, the way I do is I have to pull myself back, get into a secret place, and begin to see again or relax and know my future. When I understand the foreknowledge that is behind me, the predestination about my future that is ahead of me, I relax and rest and know that God is in control of everything. And that is my future. It doesn't mean the threats that I got, even with, again, the nonsense that was given this week. You know, from high profile people. Well, we don't know. We'll find out if it is nonsense or if it is true. But if I'm not in Christ, found in Him, it can derail me or make me scared. Yeah. All I do is I withdraw and I look at, I'm like, oh, wait. It doesn't matter who says what. I know I'm in the perfect will of God. A problem is just a stepping stone when it comes to me. Now I have peace because I know He's the author and the finisher. So He's the finisher of your book. Meaning that your end has been written already. It's just a matter of fact of opening the right book. Are you guys with me? And I explained to you when I spoke on books, opening a book speaks of revelation. Are you guys with me? Psalm 139 verse 16. Listen to this. We'll close with this. This, thine eyes did see me in my substance. Put for me in a New King James. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. So the unformed. David is saying, and having a prophetic moment here, and he's saying, wait, God, you have seen me even before I was formed. And in your book, so the your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. He said, before my life has even been thought of, before any word has been written, nothing has been done. He says, number one, before you were even, now he says, I was unformed, but there was a substance of me alive somewhere. I tell you, you are alive you were alive before you came to this earth. You just don't know it. The Bible says we'll go back to the Father of lights. Where are we coming from? Okay? He says, and in your book, all my days are written and fashioned for me. It's planned out. Fashioned means curated, perfectly fit, tailored made just for me. Which means you have a calling and a purpose from God, a divine calling. Every person that is sitting here, which is perfectly tailor made for you. Are you guys with me? And that is in the will of God things. I'm not going to get into that right now. When you look at somebody and they're doing something, you can see if it's tailor made for them or not. When the Bible says you have your perfect will, permissible will, and your and the unacceptable will. I believe it is. What is it? Unacceptable. Open up for me in Romans 12. Hey? Acceptable, sorry. You have the perfect, permissible, and acceptable will of God. One of those wills, the phrase speaks like this. When you look at somebody, it will just be fitting for them to do what they are doing. For example, if you look at me, I do not look like a law student. You understand what I'm saying? Martin, stand up. You look like a law student, I think. I don't know. I don't look like a law student. It's not fitting for me. There's basic things when it comes to calling and purpose. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Let's raise our hands wherever you are. Say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I receive foreknowledge, predestination about my story, about my calling and my book. Open my book for my life, for me. Give me revelation. Make and move me in your will. Let your lamp be a guiding word. Let your lamp be a guide to me. Let your word direct me. Father, I pray for every person here that by the end of next week, Sunday, we'll step into a place. And I pray that you will open up their eyes, even as I pray right now. The eyes of our understanding, like the Apostle Paul says, so that we might know the calling of our inheritance, the calling of glory. Open up our eyes that we may know what we are called and where we are going. I pray that the prophetic will open, and I pray that their calling will be revealed. I pray that you'll guide and direct every person, that the prophetic destiny will not leave or shift away from us. That when we are in our prophetic destiny, especially even when we are elected, it's like we are not in control of our lives with myself. It's like I am not in control. You force, even if some, if I do something that I don't like, it is you forcing me doing it, and it, because of finding out foreknowledge. I pray for every person in this place. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, for those on live stream. May the anointing come upon them that will cause them to open up their eyes to the prophetic, to see where we are going, to make our call and our election sure. I pray that your glory will fill this place, that your power will be upon every person right here, every person on live stream, and that you'll bring them back safely tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, let's give him a praise offering.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.